Our New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 18. Present weakness and resurrection life. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we've renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth, plainly we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believe, therefore I have spoken." Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise with us Jesus and present us to you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amen. The first time our youth group went on a CBOQ youth winter camp, we arrived in the late hours of Friday evening. I was talking to Ryan, William, and Bob about this earlier, and we think it's about 9 years ago that this happened. None of us had been to Muskoka Woods before, and so when we got off the bus, it was late at night and very dark. I went into the office to get our cabin assignments. I was greeted very warmly there. One of the staff showed me a map where our cabins were. The boys were in treetops, and the girls were in oak woods. They gave me another map for the guys and told me to drop off our stuff as quickly as we could and then head up to the hangar as the evening session was about to start. I handed the stuff for the guys over to Gord, who was the leader for the guys. As they headed off to treetops, I wondered if we would ever see them again that weekend. The girls, Lynn and I, started up the hill, stopping and sliding, sliding and sliding several times in the snow and ice, trying to adjust our luggage and look at the map. This was in February. We had to go up a hill and then turn slightly to the right. Now, it was pitch black, it was very cold, and it was very snowy. But somehow we made it to our cabin, we dropped off our stuff, and then went searching for this building called the hangar. Now, the hangar is a big, huge metal building, like a hangar for hanging planes in the old days, but it's actually a hangar. It's like this, only huge. So we stopped several times asking for directions along the way, and then we arrived in front of a very large metal-framed building that looked like a hangar. So we had arrived. Back then, we were on a team called ICE, the blue team, which is now called the Rockies. We started to go to the closest door, but someone came and looked at our blue armbands and said, "Ice goes in the other door." So off we went in search of the ice team's door. Now again, this all felt like we were in a foreign country, even though we were just a few hours in Northern Ontario. My memory of going into the hangar that night, many years ago, is one of thankfulness, tiredness, and awe. The band, Life Support, was playing on the stage. This huge hangar was barely lit, but a spotlight was on them. They were singing a beautiful praise song, and it was a beautiful sensation coming inside from the cold and dark and walking into the light as songs of praises were being sung. The band was singing and hundreds of Baptist youth were singing. It felt strange, but it also felt like coming home to a home we'd never been to before. Miraculously, we found Gord and the guys and enjoyed our session together in the hangar. Afterwards, we made our way to our activities and eventually back to our cabins. The next morning was a beautiful, sunshine-filled day. More snow had fallen during the night, and the light reflected on it and made it look like sparkly diamonds. As the girls walked down to the dining hall for breakfast, we all remarked on how beautiful the camp was now that we could see it. In the light of day, everything seemed so different. Everything that seemed so difficult to find the night before, we could now clearly see. The lake, the dining hall, the music hall, the boathouse, the sports field. The contrast from the night before was startling. Our worries of the dark completely disappeared in the light of the day. We could easily find our way. The Christian life seems like that sometimes. I became a Christian when I was very young. I was born into a Christian family and went to church since the day I was born, maybe a week after. Growing up, I wasn't a bad child. I knew all about Jesus. But one day, I had a very vivid sense of needing Jesus as my Savior and Lord for myself, not just because it was what my parents and my sisters believed. I felt Jesus' love and his caring. I recognized that he loved me so much that he died for my sins. I remember very specifically kneeling beside my mother at the couch in our living room and praying to accept Jesus as my Savior. His light went on in my life that night. I'm sure many of you, like me, have experienced something similar. It's like the words Isaiah said, which we read earlier. "I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them." Israel, as we know, wandered in the desert for years, guided by the pillar of fire. All through their history, God promised he would never leave them. He would send his light into the world. That would change everything. John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The Apostle Paul also experienced this great light, and he writes about this in 2 Corinthians. He says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." In this letter, Paul expresses his confidence in the Corinthians. It was not an attempt to manipulate them or just a motivational teaching. Instead, he was sharing with these brand new, uncertain, and ashamed Christians what he really felt about them. Expressions of confidence do motivate, but can't be based on others' past performances. If our hope for ourselves or others is based on performance, then there's bound to be a growing sense of discouragement and ultimately loss of hope. Paul's secret, the secret of maintaining one's own confidence and thus being able to build confidence and hope and motivation to change, is that he did not lose heart. Paul was deeply aware that God had entrusted him with his ministry. The gospel message is that God is able to make his light shine in the darkest places, in the darkest hearts. Ultimately, Paul knew that God is the source of all change in the human heart. Paul himself recognized that he was merely what he called a jar of clay. Despite the terrible pressures under which he lived, which he describes in these verses, he had faith in God. He says, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." Paul spoke out of faith and confidence because he knew the one who had raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present him to us with you to himself. Christian writer Larry Richards writes, "The message of Christ glows with a vitalizing power. The very power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in human lives." So Paul does not lose heart. He says, "Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day." He writes, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Paul's confidence in the Corinthians was based on his bedrock belief in Jesus and the resurrection power that is the message of Jesus, the message Jesus unleashes. Outwardly, we know we're aging, we're wasting away, deteriorating, but inwardly, we are experiencing renewal daily. We recognize that change happens. Changes happen, children grow up, job descriptions change, buildings decay, civilizations rise and fall. Paul's readers in Corinth had many disputes and arguments, some they couldn't seem to get past. We can probably understand or relate to this human experience. But even these disputes and arguments are temporal. My mother used to say the old expression to describe this, "This too shall pass." We need to remember with Paul that what we can see can change and indeed will change. Paul reminds us that things of this world are temporary, and he affirms realities which are not subject to change. He writes, "We fix our eyes on what is unseen, on what is eternal. These are the realities only God knows and he has revealed, and the only things we can count." In our ministry with others, we must remember that many things are temporary. We must fix our hope on unseen things, which are eternal. As I mentioned in the announcements, this week we started our summer Alpha training sessions, preparing for the fall when we plan to launch Alpha Night at the church on Friday evenings. Lord willing, it will begin at 7 on Fridays with supper, and then break into groups with Youth Alpha for children in grades 6 to 12 being held over here in the upper room. And then the Alpha film series, a video series, will be shown here in the sanctuary with Farsi subtitles. Then we'll break into small groups, English, Farsi, and maybe Russian or something else, we don't know, for a time of discussion. Alpha is a wonderful opportunity to introduce people to Jesus. Over the past weeks, and this week in particular, we've been discussing how can we get the word of Alpha out? How can we tell people about Alpha? Someone asked me, are there new ways? Are there things we've never tried before? Are we willing to try something different? Are we ready for change? My answer, yes, and resoundingly yes. But one thing doesn't change, and that's the message. Just as Paul preached, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We have the eternal message that our Lord Jesus has risen from the dead, the light has come, and we can share his light with others. There's a new worship song called Great Are You, Lord, and I've been listening to a lot lately. And the words are, you give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. That's the message of Alpha. Great are you, Lord. That's the message of the church. You bring light to the darkness. That's the message of every believer. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. We have that treasure. We have that hope, the light of Christ in our hearts. And we take that light wherever we go. When we let our light shine, the darkness of this world is transformed. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The Apostle Paul has been giving us a wonderful picture of what it looks like to be a Christian. In the first few verses of 2 Corinthians 4, he described Christians as those who are beholding the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Those who do not see the glory of the gospel of Jesus are the ones who are perishing. Therefore, Paul has declared that the gospel message that we're proclaiming, which has been written down by the apostles, which we hold in our hands today, is the means by which we are able to go and shine God's light in hearts so that they can see the glory of God. And this is why Paul says, do not lose heart. He has a magnificent ministry placed by God. So what does this mean for us? How does beholding the light of the gospel of the glory of God change who we are and how we live? As one of my friends, Carl Vaders, who writes a blog on the Christianity Today website, wrote recently, how can we be light in the darkness when we only hang out with other candles? When you behold his glory, something different happens. We see something, we do something, we have an amazing message to tell others. Think about when you take a vacation or something happens, like a birthday party. What do? We take pictures, we post it on social media, we take photos, we tell others. We have beheld the glory of God. We've encountered the light of Jesus. That light has changed our lives. And how can we keep that light to ourselves? How can we hide that light under a bushel? Another of my favorite songwriters and singers, Chris Rice, has written the song, Go Light Your World. And the words are, there is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his home. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the lonely, the tired and worn, and hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle, go light your world. Because we are a family whose hearts are blazing. So let's raise our candles and light up the sky, praying to our Father in the name of Jesus, make us a beacon in darkest times. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the lonely, the tired, the worn, and hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle, go light the world. May we go from here carrying the light of Christ with us and light our world. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for sending Jesus to be our light and our life. We thank you for the treasure that we have. And we pray, Lord, that you would remind us again of your amazing love in sending Jesus. Help us to carry that message of hope and light wherever we go. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.